I'm
Right, we
muted.
are on the A. Here we go. I'll tell you some a nice shyness sent in, which is nowadays when you come back to Israel, you're in quarantine. I mentioned both people come back soon, and all of it, everyone will come back soon. Do you? What is this man to say? I'm going now, right? If you fly continentally, right? If you fly from Lakewood and to Chicago or to LA, so you don't bench go because you didn't fly over water. Hello, Israel. So if you fly continentally, no agaimo. But if you fly international over waters, so then you bench agaimo. How quickly do you need to bench agaimo? Especially today, if you fly to Israel, you're in quarantine. You may not get out for 70 to 14 days. What is this mod for benching agaimo? So ideally, you would want to bench within 3 days. But as long as you still feel the simcha and the appreciation that you survived the trip, you can bench go agaimo. Hello, Martin. So we say how quickly. So therefore, hello, Benji. So you can bench goyim again, ideally within 3 days. But as long as you're still feeling the appreciation that you were saved, that you survived the trip, you can bench goyim 7 days, 14 days, even up to a month, if you still feel like, wow, I'm okay. And therefore, when you get out of quarantine, you feel that, you just got here. So certainly you would be able to bench agaimo then.
How do you bench agaimo? It's not dangerous anymore to fly. And
that's a very good question. That's why people don't bench agaimo when they fly continentally, because you don't feel the danger. And even internationally, you don't feel the danger, but at least you went over the water. One of the requirements of benching agaimo is going over water. So even if it's not dangerous per se, but you went over water. Now, Yaakov is right. There are some people who don't bench goyim at all today, unless they were really in a dangerous situation. And there are some people like that. But I would say the prevailing custom is to, yes, bench goyim only over water. And the chiddush is, like Yudi agrees with me, that you're not really feeling you're there. You didn't really make it to get out of bidud. And therefore, even though it's 7 days, 14 days, you can still bench goyim. Okay, another
reason going on it, but isn't the idea of going over water is because it's dangerous?
It could be, but the Gemara didn't say that. The Gemara says you went over water, and therefore, there are still accidents. People still get in trouble. Going over water there's more in danger, and therefore, again, there are people who agree with you, Yaakov, and don't bench Gomel. However, there are people who disagree with you, and they bench Gomel. And all I'm coming to say is you should do it within 3 days, but 7:14 is okay also. Definitely when you get up, you do it, you can do it. Next topic, my friend, is washing your hands in the morning. If you have a nap in the middle of the day, you should wash your hands, because if you don't, you can't make a bracha, because maybe you touch some dirty stuff. But overnight, you need to wash your hands, because in the morning, besides whatever you touch dirty, you have what's called ruach hara. You have some spooky, evil stuff that's on your fingers. And it's very dangerous. You can't put your fingers in your eyes and your nose and your mouth and any of your crevices, because you will be zapping them with ruach hara. And also, touching food is a problem. If you touch food, you may ruin the food. So now, me'ikra din, we don't make the food treif. We don't make the food usher to eat. However, if you can wash the food, you should wash the food 3 times. So someone wakes up in the morning, didn't wash negabas, or touches an apple, you should wash that apple 3 times. If you touch a sponge cake, I don't recommend washing that 3 times. But there is a reason to be very careful not to touch any food, and therefore make sure you wash your hands immediately. There's a shaila at what age, from a child, a baby, so for sure from 13, preferably at least from 6, and spooky things may happen even younger, and therefore it's better, as young as you can, wash your babies when they wake up in the morning, that they have ruach hara on them, and therefore even children. Some people do it from the day of the bris, some do it a little earlier, some do it a little later, but definitely as soon as you can, to start washing your hands, your children's hands, anyone's hands. If you see someone in the street, just start washing his hands, because you don't know if he washes his hands. But you don't want him touching your food. There's big shayla in restaurants over here. They make their workers wash, not because of cleanliness, but they make their workers wash because they have ruach hara on their hands. and it could affect the food. Okay, and the third shot
What about liquids?
What about what?
Liquids, touching liquids, if you don't wash your hands.
Big problem. So again, ikra din, we don't make you throw out the food, but you can't wash the liquid, like you can't wash a sponge cake, but definitely do not touch liquids. Whatever's in your control, you should not touch it unless you have washed your hands 3 times. Okay, and the last thing is, as far as talking in the middle of davening, right, besides not talking shul, not talking davening, once you say Baruch She'amar, until the end of Shemoneh Esrei, you cannot talk. I was just with someone who didn't know the halacha, and he was talking to me earnestly. He didn't really know, But the point is, from Baruch She'amar until after Shemoneh Esrei, you cannot talk. And by Marid, from Baruch Hu, once you say Baruch Hu, until after Shemoneh Esrei, no talking. If there's a need, do some pantomime, but try not to talk. If it's dangerous, if there's a certain danger, for sure we can talk. But as far as just general questions, even if it's mitzvah things, you shouldn't be talking about that until after davening. It's a hefsek. It creates a hefsek in your brachas. You don't repeat anything, but it does create a hefsek, and therefore you should make sure you do not do that. All right, here we go. So we have Yom Kippur. Right, last week was Rosh Hashanah. I mentioned next week we'll start building the sukkah, or the halacha that happened in the sukkah. Now Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, we're going to start with three series in the tshuva. Many things which come up. So first of all, there's a fast day right after Rosh Hashanah, in case you overate during those 4 meals in Rosh Hashanah. But otherwise, we're fasting because of Tzom Gedaya. Gedaya was murdered, and therefore we do a fast. It's like a regular fast. Pregnant ladies or nursing ladies do not fast. Everyone else should. If you need to wash out your mouth with scope, you can. If you want to shower, you can. But it is a fast day. Then the Holocaust and Tshuva will be saying Avinu Malkeinu, in addition to the Slichos, which we started saying. Ashkenazi, we started saying this month of Shabbos. My dear Benji has already been saying it for like 8 years already. But definitely, during the Holocaust and Tshuva, more Tefillah, more Slichos, Avinu Malkeinu. Even if you're by yourself, you still say Avinu Malkeinu. Kiddush Levana, we try to push off after Yom Kippur. So we won't take Kiddush Levana during Aseret Me'etshuva, during Shabbat Shuvah, after Shabbat Shuvah. Ideally, we'll push off until after Yom Kippur. Now, during Aseret Me'etshuva, it's brought down Shulchan Aruch to take on a chumrah, take on more chumras that you wouldn't necessarily do the whole year. The example Shulchan Aruch brings down is Pas Yisrael, which means we gave a share on this a few months ago, that eating Goyish bread is a problem. We're makel and we eat baker's bread. So Arnold's bread or any other Goyish company bakery bread, we eat them. There are those that are machved the whole year and don't. I don't know if anyone here is, but the Iker didn't, you're allowed to. You're allowed to eat Goyish baker's bread. However, during Seres Me'etshuva, it's brought down to the machmir, and that extends itself to the Mizonos as well. So therefore, ideally, not to eat Cheerios, Or entomins, they're not Pas Yisrael. So that's the chumash of parking down. If you want to make on, take on your own chumash, that's also fine. Again, it doesn't obligate you the whole year, and you're not tricking Hashem. It's just a way of showing, listen, I take this seriously. Aseres Me'etshuva is serious. Yom Kippur is serious. Hello, Yecheskel. So we're discussing it during Aseres Me'etshuva, Yecheskel taking on a chumrah. So definitely recommended to take on the chumrah Pas Yisrael. But everyone can take on their own chumras as well. But again, you're not making a nether and you're not fooling anyone. It's just special hanhagas during Seder Me'etshuva. It's a good idea. Now, we get to Erev Yom Kippur. There's a mitzvah to eat. A mitzvah to eat Erev Yom Kippur. Special mitzvah. We don't have Yom Kippur, so we have Erev Yom Kippur as a time to eat. It could start at night. Some say only by day. Some say it doesn't apply for women. But definitely, they should eat. No one should be fasting. Women should be eating. Men should be eating by night also. Whenever the mitzvah actually starts, doesn't matter. Try to eat. Now, there is on Erev Yom Kippur, no tachana, no Avinu Malkeinu, no mizmor l'seida, and no lam netzeach. Those are 4 things we skip because it's like a yantiv. So when we're eating it, we should feel festive. We should feel yantiv. Like our davening, we cut out those things because it's a yantiv. Now, on Erev Yom Kippur, there's a minhag to have 2 sudas. 2 sudas. The Suda Maseches is the one after Mincha, which you'll eat up until a little bit before Shkia. But then there's another, there's a minute to have another Suda before Mincha with Lechem Mishnah, with fish, with kreplach, wontons. But kreplach, the idea is to have meat hidden by bread, by a dough. So those are midnight to have that Suda, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, in that range. And it should be a yantiv like Suda. You want to do that before Mincha and before you go to the mikvah, which we'll get to soon. But that is the Erev Yom Kippur eating. Now, there's a minhag of doing kaparos. So kaparos is a machlokes. Should you do with the chicken or with money? Whatever your minhag is, it's fine. If you do with the chicken, boy chicken for a boy, girl chicken for a girl. If you're pregnant and you know what sex it is, so do the appropriate chicken for that. Gender, if you haven't decided the gender, well, if you do not know the gender, so then you can do one for one girl for the mother and a boy in case it's a boy. But that is, if you do chickens, you are allowed to double dip, meaning you can use the same chicken for multiple people. That's fine. Now, if you use money, so any type of money is fine. Any denomination is fine. Our family always did the denomination of 18, 18 shekel, $18, 18 cents, 1800, whatever you want to do. But the ideal time is dawn, Alos HaShachar of Erev Yom Kippur. That's the ideal time. If you're up, do it then. If not, you can do it anytime during Seder Simchat Torah or anytime on Erev Yom Kippur. But again, the ideal time would be as early as possible on Erev Yom Kippur. Yes, Yaakov.
Can I change my minhag? Like my father does chickens. Am I allowed to do money, or is this one of those things you have to do?
You're allowed to do money. Should you also do chickens, it's good to keep your father's minhag. Right? If your father has weird minhagim, that's one thing, or minhagim that are like wrong, that's one thing. But there's, this is a standard minhag in Klal Yisrael, and that's your father's minhag, I would shoot for that. Now, if it's not possible, right, you're in an area where they don't have chickens, so I don't have to kill yourself and do it. But if it's within your, if it's within your ability to do it, so then I would keep your father's minhag. And my dear friend Yudi has a great question. If someone is pregnant with triplets or quadruplets, yes, what you want to do is the letter of the law would allow you to use the same chicken for same person, but you need to do one for each baby. So then you theoretically would need to do it three separate times, four separate times, however many babies there are in that stomach, you would have to do Zachalapad Zachmasi for each baby. Okay, so that is kaparis. Next, mechila. During Seder Simchat Torah, Erev Yom Kippur, but you can even start now. It's important to ask everyone for mechila. Anyone who you think that you may have upset, done wrong to, even if it's questionable, ask mechila, get them to mechila you, pay back any debts, or at least make up with them a payment plan. You don't want to go into Yom Kippur with anyone upset with you, because Yom Kippur is mechaper for all Avera between you and man, but not between you and man. And therefore, you want to get the full kapara, mechila, from Yom Kippur, you want to make sure you've taken care of everything being adam lechavero. And even if you think you're right, it doesn't matter. You want them to forgive you, so make the phone call. Now, if the person does not know what you did, let's say you spoke Lashon Hara, and he didn't know you spoke Lashon Hara. So there's a big machloikas. There's a big machlokas about should you tell the person what you did? By the way, I slandered you in front of 25 people and they all think you're a jerk. By the way, I said Lashon Hara about you the other day. So there's a big fight. If it caused him monetary damage, you must tell him and make up with him the payment. If it was just you slandered him a little bit, but no real damage came, so you can just go over to him and ask him for a general mechila. You don't need to say what it is that you did. As far as Yaakov, your question, as far as you should pay back all your debts. But let's say your debt is not to man, let's say your debt is to Hashem because of Meister. So again, Meister, there's no specific timeline to give Meister. What you should do is make a calculation. I owe $500 to Meister and have that written down. And whenever you have the right need, the right person, the right moment to give it to you, to give it to. You don't necessarily have to give it in advance, but you definitely should have worked out your calculation of what you owe to Meister. You should do that all the time. But yeah, for sure, before you give it, make sure you know exactly what you're going to give, have an idea who and when or how you're going to give it, but you don't actually have to give it in advance. Okay, that's Mechila. Vidoy. I want to thank Mikvah. Mikvah of Yom Kippur, not a chiv, definitely a good idea. If you can't stomach it, you can't handle it, so at least take a shower. It's called Tisha Kabin. Stay under the shower for like 5 minutes, and that is a good thing to do. Now, Vidoy Ergam Kippur, we say Vidoy in Mincha. There are other people that add Vidoy to other times. Vidoy does not have to be in Shmona Esrei. You can do Vidoy anytime. You say, Anachnu, Vaviseinu Chatanu, Ashanu Veganu, and you can say it anytime. Some people do it before the mikvah. Some people do it right before Yom Kippur starts, in addition to Mincha. Again, you don't have to, but just the idea is it should be on your mind. You want full kapara. The way you get kapara is by confessing. And therefore, on Yom Kippur, we do it 10 times. Every Yom Kippur, at least once. And you should know people add it in around mikvah time and or when you go into Yom Kippur. Now, right. If you've done any specific aveiras, you should add them in. Don't just use the generic Hashanu Baganu. If you know something specific that you have done, add it in. If you know the alphabetical equivalent, you could put it in alphabetically. If you don't, it doesn't matter. Just put it in. Whenever you're saying Vidoy, add in whatever personal aveiras you have done. You do not need to publicize that. You do not need to say that out loud. It's between you and Hashem. No one needs to know your dirty laundry. No one needs to know what you have done wrong. But you definitely should do it. And Vidoy must be said standing up. Don't lean on any shtender when you're doing Vidoy. Don't sit down. Vidoy must be said standing up. Okay, the Sudan of Sekis, you'll have to eat up until Shkia, but don't push it. Don't go that close. Ideally, you would want to bench a half hour before, like, you know, just get things that you're not running up against Shkia. Once you bench, as long as it's not Shkia, you're still allowed to eat, but it's good to speak out that you're not being the Kabbal to fast. Just when you bench, just have that in mind that when you bench, you're not being the Kabbal to fast. If you want, you can speak it out. And then there's a mitzvah to add on to Yom Kippur, there's a mitzvah daraisa to add on Yom Kippur, and therefore, best not to go up until Shkia. You want to add on 10 minutes, 20 minutes, and you be Makabal. I be Makabal to Sefet Yom Kippur. I be Makabal adding on to Yom Kippur. And at that moment, no eating, shoes, etc., no washing. That's when you're makabel to Sefet Yom Kippur. That's when everything starts. Again, ideally 5, 10, 20 minutes before Shkia is when you should do that. Now, candles. Oh, you want me to, by the Suda of Sekis, the minhag is not to have fish. By the first Suda, the minhag is to yes have fish. By the second Suda, the minhag is not to have fish. Also, the minhag is not to have cow meat, basar, meat. You can have chicken, but not to have cow meat by the second Suda, by Suda of Sekis. Yeah, not usr, but that's the prevailing custom, not to have fish or meat by the second Suda, more like chicken or other things. Okay, fine. Candle lighting. So if you are alone, you light candles. If you have a wife, your wife lights candles. What you want to do is light candles and make two brachas. Al-Hadash HaYom Kippurim and Shechianu. Men make a Shechianu in shul. The women make a Shechianu when they light the candles. Now here's the spooky thing. There is a minhag, and I recommend doing it because it's spooky, for a married man to light a yahrzeit candle. Is called the gezuntlich, the healthy candle. You light the yahrzeit candle and just put it aside. It's not for any deceased relative, which you should do anyway. If anyone has a deceased relative, you light candles for them. But it's just a married man lighting a gezuntlich. It's for himself. And he should light it, and that's that. In addition to that, you should light a second candle, a second yahrzeit candle, and that should be used for Havdalah. We'll see soon. Havdalah's candle is a unique halacha on Yom Kippur, Matzah Yom Kippur. And what you would want to do is make Havdalah on a candle that was lit the whole Yom Kippur, that was lit specially for that purpose. And therefore, what I recommend is having a special yahrzeit candle put aside for the Havdalah. And therefore, don't make it a 24-hour candle. Make it a 48-hour candle. The gezuntlich could be a 24-hour candle. The Havdalah candle should be a 48-hour candle. Okay, so all these candles should be lit well before Shkia, Erev, Yom Kippur. The minute is to wear kittel. Everyone here is out of Shana Rishona, so definitely wear a kittel. Those that are in Shana Rishona, it's different than Hagim, but I believe you should, everyone in Shana Rishona should wear kittel as well. But as far as the gezunt list, everyone should light their own gezunt list. So if your father's lighting, all you need for Abdullah, all you need is one for the house, for the Abdullah candle, but for the special spooky gezunt list, so that everyone should light their own, every married man should light their own. Now, talis, right? Before Kol Nidre, you put on a talis. If you put on before Shkia, which you should, you make a bracha on it. If Shkia came, you didn't put your talis on, so then don't make a bracha on your talis. Okay, once night starts, all these surim are here. There's an Isser Malacha, just like Shabbos, right? And every Malacha that starts on Shabbos is also Usser on Yom Kippur. Okay, now, the Isser of eating is even a little bit, and no drinking even a little bit. You cannot even drink anything, even the smallest amount. Now, if you need to take a pill, so if you don't have to take it, don't take it. But if it's important to take it, any health issues, heart medicine, whatever it is, take the pill. Better to do it without water. So if you want to start practicing now, taking pills without water, go for it. But try to take it without water. If you need water, that's fine. What you want to do is get disgusting water. Otherwise known, what's recommended is take a cheese stand, make it really strong. It would be very bitter. So that's like not drinking. Halakhically not drinking because it's bitter, disgusting water. Not dangerous, just disgusting. So better to take the pill without water or with a very strong tea scent. If that's not possible, then the smallest amount of water is okay, but really a small amount of water. Yudi, as far as those candles, some people double dip the gezuntlicht with the Havdalah candle. It's okay. Better to have a separate one. Better have two separate candles. Okay, so that's far as eating and medicine. Now, no washing. You cannot wash your hands or your face or anything for pleasure to wake you up. None of that. Only washing to remove filth. So if something is dirty, definitely you're allowed to wash it. If it's dirty, that's fine. But otherwise, no washing. When you wake up in the morning or you go to the bathroom, you wash your hands up until the knuckles, the fingers really, just the fingers up until the knuckles, not the hand, just the fingers until the end of your fingers. And then once that's washed, you can use the excess water to wipe off your eyes and your face. But you shouldn't wash specifically to wash off your face. Just use the excess water from your fingers to wash off your face. If you have a towel that's damp, you can wipe off with that, but you can't make it wet. Can't make it, first of all, you have skeet issues, but also you shouldn't have any real moisture coming onto your face. Just the leftovers from your fingers, then that is okay. Don't wash out your mouth, no scope, unless you're inside, unless it's painful. If it's painful, then you can use scope or wash out your mouth, but it's gotta reach a higher level. But every other fast, we're lenient. By Yom Kippur, we're more machmir, and therefore try not to do that. Shoes, okay, no leather shoes, no leather at all. Any part of the shoe should not be leather. Whatever shoes are not leather are mutter, but it's brought down that if the whole year you wear sneakers, the whole year you wear non-leather shoes, you should change your shoes for Yom Kippur, even though they're not leather, and Me'ikra did it's mutter. But to wear the same shoes you wear the whole year round, also in Yom Kippur, so then there's been no change, no added discomfort, so it's not great. Again, it's mutter, but ideally you would want to switch your shoe to another non-leather shoe. So the whole year you wear Crocs, do something else. If the whole year you wear sneakers, wear Crocs, you know, just switch them up. But definitely do some sort of switch in your shoes. But again, the leather law is just no leather. Husband and wives cannot be together. They should keep harchakas, no touching, no deodorant. You're not allowed to do sicha. You're not allowed to anoint yourself with oils. So it's brought down deodorant is also included in that. So put on deodorant before Yom Kippur. Try not to run the marathon on Yom Kippur. And so you don't need more deodorant. But you do not want to use deodorant on Yom Kippur. No going to mikvah on Yom Kippur. And Children from age 3 and up is when you start teaching them to wear non-leather shoes. From 9 and up is when you start teaching them to fast a few hours. Again, they're not high to fast until 13 or 12, but you start teaching children fasting from 9 and up, and shoes from 3 and up. If you are pregnant and nursing, you still have to fast on Yom Kippur. If you had a baby within 3 days before Yom Kippur, you do not need to fast. If it's within 3 to 7 days before Yom Kippur, so then you're like in between, depending on what the doctor says, it could be you do not need to fast. But from 7 days after childbirth and on, you must fast. And then you like everyone else, which is, if it's deathly ill, you eat. If you are super duper weak or won't have enough milk for the baby or other issues, talk to a rabbi. There will be heterim, but in general, it is shiurim. Shiur means small amount in increments. For example, around 1 ounce of liquid every 9 minutes, 7 minutes, down to 2 or 3 minutes based on the need, or less than around a rugelach size of food every 9 minutes, 7 minutes, etc. But again, as you get closer, you'll see what the need is. You have to find it first, ask the doctor what's required for your personal health or your child's health, and then discuss it with the rav how to do that. So you report what the doctor said to the rabbi, and then through that, you'll determine what should be done. Some people eat regularly, some people eat with shiurim, and some people should not eat at all. Some people should not eat, just drink. Whatever it is, based on the medical need. But again, no one's supposed to die because of Yom Kippur, and you are supposed to be afflicted, and you are supposed to, you know, feel it, but not in a dangerous way. Okay, so that will be discussed on a personal basis. And that is that. Okay, Kol Nidre, ideally you say Kol Nidre before Shkia. Most shuls like start it right around Shkia and go after. If you're home, you say Kol Nidre by yourself, no problem. All tefillas of Yom Kippur, you can really say by yourself at home, except for the Yud Gimel Midos, that you do not say, just like by Slichos, you do not say. Men say Shechianu in shul, like you said earlier. And that bar saying Kol Machosoli Omed, we say out loud. It's a shayla if women do it as well. I believe the custom is women do it. They say bar saying Kol Machosoli Omed out loud in all Shemas, the Shema by night, Kriya Shema Almita, and Shacharis, all the Shemas, we say bar saying Kol Machosoli Omed out loud. You should give money for on tzedakah for Yizkor. Anyone who's saying Yizkor, you should give tzedakah. Even if you're by yourself, you say Yizkor by yourself, and you could verbally say that you'll give tzedakah as well. And that is that. Okay, duchening in America, they will only duchen one time by Musaf, and they're also able to do it by Ne'ilah as well, as long as it's for Shkia. Now, yeah, and they blow the shofar. Me'ikra din, you're allowed to blow the shofar even during Bein HaShemashos, even though it's not Tzeis HaKavim yet. The minhag is to wait until Tzeis HaKavim, but really, they blow the shofar at the end. Even if it's not Tzeis HaKavim, it is mutter. Okay, now, Yom Kippur is over, but there's still a mitzvah deraisa to add on to Yom Kippur. Again, we don't have to add on 4 hours, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes. Have in mind, it's a mitzvah of adding on Yom Kippur before and after. Now, Havdalah. Havdalah Mats Yom Kippur. So it's Hagafen, it's Barei Merei Ha'esh, and Hamadil. No Besamim. But yes, Hagafen, Hamadil, and Ha'esh. Now Ha'esh is unique, we alluded to earlier. You're not supposed to strike a match and make Havdalah on the new flame like you do every Matzah Shabbos. Yom Kippur is special, unique. You're supposed to use the fire that was lit the whole Yom Kippur, which is why you light this Yartzeit candle. Now, even though the whole year we make Havdalah on a double wick, on a torch, on a madura, Matzah Yom Kippur, you can make it just on that Yartzeit candle. Even though it's a single flame, you can make Borei Merej just on that Yartzeit candle. That's fine and preferred because you don't want to make new fire. If for whatever reason you don't have that Yartzeit candle or yours blew out and there's no other candle, borrow from a neighbor their Yartzeit candle. If that's not possible, so then you can strike a match. Don't use that fire. Transfer that fire to a candle like you do normally in Matzah Shabbos and use that, but it's not ideal. You definitely want to avoid that, and you definitely want to do it on a fire that was there the whole Yom Kippur. Kiddush Levana, we do Matzah Yom Kippur. Best to do it after you eat and after you put shoes on. That is ideal. if you can't, you can't. But ideally, you would want to do that because you want to be the simcha when you do kish levana. And one more thing is, once it says achuchavim, all the inuyim become mutter. You're not, you don't, you can switch shoes. But theoretically, once it says achuchavim, you can go ahead and before ma'ariv, you can go ahead and put your shoes on and wash your hands. Theoretically, you still can't eat because it's before hadalah, but you can drink water. So once it says achuchavim comes and you've added on 5-10 minutes, you're allowed to drink water even though you did not make hadalah yet. You're always allowed to drink water before Abdallah. Not water before Kiddush, but water before Abdallah is okay. So if you need to, you can't dime out without it, you're weak, you can drink water. That is a wrap on Hilchos Yom Kippur. Okay, we'll end off with some thoughts on Bitachon. The Chavis HaLevavis that we've been discussing is bothered by this question, why the Torah does not mention Olam Haba, especially this week's Parsha Kisavo, is busy about punishments and rewards, but it's all about them in this world. There's no mention of reward of Olam Haba or Gehenna, really, for that sake, as well, in the Torah. So you've been giving many different answers. An answer to you this week is really eye-opening. It's original. I don't remember seeing this anywhere else. He said like this: there are two types of mitzvahs and averus, the more public one and the more private ones. Public meaning sukkah, lulav, tefillin, matzah, shema, davening. These are all your public ones. For those, you get public reward in Olam Hazeh. Then there's the internal ones, what's going on in your heart. Yiras Shamayim, Avas Hashem, bad thoughts. Those are the hidden ones, what he calls Chayvas Halavavos, that's in your heart. For that is what you get Olam Haba for, or Gehenna. So the external mitzvahs and averus is the reward and punishment is Olam Hazeh. The internal ones, the ones that are not seen, are in Olam Haba or Gehenna. And that's why the Torah doesn't talk about it, because they're hidden. The same way the Aveira or the Mitzvah is hidden, the reward is also hidden in Olam Haba, and therefore the Torah hides it and doesn't tell us that. It's very interesting. Anyway, that is another one of his approaches. Have that in mind. Okay, in davening, so we're finishing up with Dalai Shem Oiri. A very interesting thing the Malbim points out. As we say, we mentioned last time that we're davening, we really want one thing. We want to be close to Hashem. That's the goal. Everything else is like the means to get to the goal. But the real goal is to be shifted to Hashem. He points out in Pasuk Zayin Lechas, we say, Shema Hashem Koli. Hashem should hear my voice. And the next Pasuk, Lecha Amar Libi Bakshu Panai. My heart is requesting. What is it? Is it our voice or is it our heart? So he says along this theme, which is deep down what's in our hearts is one thing. We want to be close to Hashem. But sometimes there are things that get in the way, like health, parnasa, children, tzedukim, whatever is in the way. And therefore, with our voice, we call out to Hashem, help me with this, help me with this, help me with this. But that really in our lav, that's not the goal. That's not what we want. I don't care if I have money or not. I don't care if I'm healthy or not. I care one thing. I want to be close to you. My heart is requesting panai. I want your face. But as panach Hashem avakesh, your face is what I'm searching. So we do koli, we shmon esed, we say a lot of tefillas, but that's more superficial, it's more with our voice. But what's deep down in our heart is panach Hashem avakesh, which is that our face should be facing your face and that we should have that relationship. That's the real goal. And that's what David HaMelech is alluding to, according to the Malbim. Okay, we'll end off with the Varna Parsha, Parsha's Kisavai. It has a mitzvah Bikurim. Now, Bikurim is an unbelievable mitzvah. First of all, we do it because there's a mitzvah Dereset to do it. But also brought down, there's this concept that you work your field, you plow, you harvested, you put a lot of work into it. You're going to think, aha, it grew because of me. Aha, I'm good stuff. I have a green thumb, and that's why it grew. So comes the mitzvah Bikurim to tell you, oh yeah, that first fruit, you can't even eat it. You have to give it away. Showing you, you should realize your success. And the reason why everything grew is not because of you, it's because of Hashem. That's a great message we have at Bikurim. We don't have that by other things, like in business. Perhaps the first deal, you should give some money away. People hang up that first dollar that they made. But the idea is that to recognize that it wasn't you that caused that success. Now, Chazal bring down another thing to have in mind, which is Hakar Satay. That Bikurim is the way of expressing Hakar Zatay, that Hashem gave you your parnasa. Hashem gave you these fruits, so you're makir toy by giving this. That's fascinating. We had that by Keep It Up the AM as well. Honoring your parents, one idea brought down behind it is because of Hakar Satay. What they did for you, whether you like them or not, whether you think they're good people or not good people, they for sure did for you. And some parents have done a lot, some have done a little. Whatever it is, there's still the Chiv HaKar HaTayiv, and that's where the Mitzvah Kibud HaVayim comes from. Extending it one more thing, Amon and Moab. Amon and Moab are not allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael. We can never get them in. The reason is because they were lacking that need of HaKar HaTayiv. They were saved because of Avraham Avinu. Long story, but they were saved because of Avraham Avinu. Yet when Klal Yisrael needed help, they didn't help us. They lacked that need of HaKar HaTayiv. So someone asked, it's not one of the seven mitzvahs B'nai Naya. It's not a mitzvah of Hakar HaTov in for the Goyim. So why were they punished for that? Why are they not allowed to marry in? So a great answer is, it's not because it's a mitzvah, but if you don't have that ability to be Makir Toiv, you are a very low person. You're just low. We don't want you in Klal Yisrael. Therefore, they can't marry you. So for certainly us, who are amongst Klal Yisrael, to make sure we're not from that low person. So if you Makir Toiv to humans, and Makir Tov to Hashem, someone pointed out, we daven, we thank Hashem for our eyesight, for Kech Ivrim. But when do we thank Hashem for our hearing? We don't have a bracha, thank Hashem that I can hear. It would be terrible not to be able to hear. The idea is, every person has to come and recognize that for themselves. Thank Hashem for hearing. You have air conditioning, thank Hashem for the air conditioning. So HaKar HaTov isn't just what's written, it isn't just between humans and Hashem, our goal. Through Bikurim, it like opens our eyes, but our goal is recognize everything that Hashem has done good for us and what humans have done good for us. Have a wonderful night, a good Shabbos, and Mitzvah next week, Hilchos Sukkah.